Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Utah! Give me two.
All right, we're back for more. I just did a whole hour, 40-minute show by myself, and now I'm back on with Benjamin Chase. And today's guest, as we get to talk about prospects. It's the Prospects Power Half Hour, as you know and love the show as it is. We're going to talk about the Twins and the Tigers today. And there we go. I fixed that. And it's real simple. Why not get a guy from Twins Daily, the founder of Twins Daily, knows a thing or two about the Twins himself, to come on and talk. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Seth. He is live and uncensored here. Welcome into the show, Seth. Thanks for joining us for the Colossal Podcast Prospects Power Half Hour.
Thrilled to be here. This is exciting. I mean, you got like graphics and everything. I'm impressed. Completely impressed.
Well, you know, we try to do things as best we can around here. Give a little bit of a presentation to cover up maybe the lack of proper information. Ben always brings it. Ben knows what he's talking about. He's our prospects guru here. He always has been, always will be. And that's why Ben brought in Seth. By the way, I have always enjoyed Twins Daily. I've been following it for a couple of years now. You guys, to me, are preeminent Twins authority. You guys know what's going on with the Twins all day, every day.
I mean, I like to think so. I mean, if you're, you know, someone who follows the Twins Daily, you should probably follow Twins Daily. But no, I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. I'm going on 20 years of vlogging. I know John Bonas, the Twins Geek, has been around a year longer than that. Nick Nelson, Parker Hageman, Brock Beauchamp. I mean, it's been a long-term thing. So, and I'm also old, so I got the history, the old time. I remember the World Series days, and, you know, I love following prospects. So kind of the gamut, I guess.
Is there a pod for Twins Daily?
Sometimes, I have done some, I call them twin spotlights. I just in the last week interviewed right-handed pitcher Travis Adams, who got to high A last year. So did Jalen Nowlan, left-hander, throws 97. So, you know, I've got probably 60 or so episodes of that going back a ways, but, you know, even some of the guys we'll probably talk about today have been on there a few times.
And okay. Then Gleeman and the Geek, too. I mean, you got John Bonas, one of the founders of Twins Daily, does a podcast with Aaron Gleeman of The Athletic. And yep. So, I mean, there's one of the guys from Twins Daily, and they get out a lot of good Twins knowledge, too. So,
yeah, I mean, they're the top podcast, probably, besides yourselves, of course. in baseball. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure everyone's heard of Gleeman and the Geek.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome. Make sure you guys follow Twins Daily on Twitter. You can follow Seth on Twitter at Seth Tweets and Big Gentle Ben, MJ Govier, Palazzo Podcast. And we're going to do the Twins and the Tigers.
Go Tigers.
So we're going to start with the Twins, and then we'll get into the Tigers prospects on the second half. And as we always do it, start from the top. And we're looking for the next big three, but we want to know who are the top three prospects as you see it, Seth. So give us the current top three prospects in the Twins organization.
I tell you, it's difficult, but there's three names that clearly are the top of the list. And you could probably flip a coin at number two between Royce Lewis, Brooks Lee. I think a lot of places have Brooks Lee, the team's top pick last year. I still am a Royce Lewis Bobo. You know, I'll take that athleticism, power, speed combination. The only problem with that's been the injuries. And number three, and he's been number three, I think, in most places, but I think you're going to start hearing more about him towards number one by the second half of this year, and that's Emmanuel Rodriguez. You know, a young guy, he's just 20, but obviously a nice international signing and had a great year last year, even in the Florida State League, showing some power in a league where you don't see a lot of power. I think he had 9 home runs and he only played like 45 games or something. So definitely a guy to watch for sure.
Ben, you agree with that top three?
Those are my top three, and in fact, I'm one of those guys who's big on Rodriguez, even though, I mean, I love Lewis. I you know, I'm a fan of Lee, but gosh, Rodriguez, you know, it took until I believe it was the last week of August for Rodriguez to no longer be the qualified leader in WRC Plus in all of the minor leagues last year, and he hadn't played in like a month and a half at that point.
Yeah,
like that's how good he was. But, you know, he was so good. And, of course, at that point, you know, everyone else was like 30 points below him. He had a 199 WRC plus last year. I mean, I don't think people understand just how good he was. It wasn't just power. He was incredible with his on-base skills. And
yeah,
thing is, he plays a darn good defense, too. It's not just that he was an offensive juggernaut and, you know, he's going to be a nothing on defense. The guy can play some defense too. So Guys, he's a really impressive prospect. I've been bugged that people read my stuff too much because they know how much I love him. And so all these dynasty leagues that I'm in, people are drafting him ahead of me or else they're going out. And when I want him in a trade, they're, you know, asking for the moon. And so that's a pain in the butt, but a lot of places I already have him, and you know, people are now coming to me trying to trade for him, and they then realize how much value I put on him. So,
yeah.
But I think the Twins have that Lewis Lee combo is going to be a very interesting combo for over the next few years, because Lee has shown a lot this spring that he's really ready. He's going to likely move to Double A quicker than most. Than a lot of draftees can probably handle. I think he could probably be there and spend a lot of time there this year. In Double A.
He ended the season there playing for Wichita in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
So I think the assumption is he'll start there and probably get up to St. Paul at Triple A pretty quickly, with a very good chance of getting to the big leagues at some point this year.
And that's, I mean, for a draftee, you know, a year later to open the season in Double A, you know, and like I said, I know that he had played some playoff time. I didn't know. Sometimes you see that where a guy comes up for a playoff run, but it's just like, you know, we wanted to give him a chance to see it, but he's not really ready for that level. So he's going to start in the next level down, and you'll see him May 1st bump up, you know, but I would wager he's probably ready to go Double A. And then, yeah, like you said, you know, get him to St. Paul. St. Paul's got a great stadium comparative to a lot of the other Triple A stadiums, as far as this is what it's going to look like at the major league level. We had Chris Blessing on last week where he talked about how Triple A is just kind of a holy crap, this is offense league. And that is true of a lot of stadiums. St. Paul's is not as bad as far as that is concerned. It's a pretty good gauge to what it's going to be like moving over essentially across town to go over to Target Field and be a major leaguer as far as what the field's going to play like, all that sort of stuff. And so you're not getting that big difference as far, you know, the AAA ball is a different ball game, but that's, you know, as far as what kind of baseball they're using. But so by the end of the year, you're going to probably get a good idea, and it could be interesting to see what they do with Lee and Lewis, probably both getting some major league time by the end of the year. And they just signed Carlos Correa. You know, what a good problem to have, you know, frankly. You know, come July, if the Twins are really doing well, boy, they might have some ammunition when they go out into the trade market to really make a big splash.
Oh, that's fair. Well, this is wild. You think about the Twins sometimes, they don't seem like a team that's most loaded with prospects, but they do a pretty good job with a lot of homegrown talent. And that's why I'm really curious to see who are the next big three here, Seth. Give us the next big three in the Twins organization.
All right. Well, one, I think, is starting to make a name for himself thanks to the WBC, although those that have been following it, Twins Daily, have really seen his name in our daily minor league report pretty much every day, and that's Edouard Julien, the Canadian, who just crushed the ball for Team Canada this last week in the WBC. But after that, it's a couple of pitchers that are high ceiling, even though they haven't thrown a whole lot, and that's, I think, 19- or 20-year-old Marco Raya, who is their fourth-round pick in 2020, the shortened draft. And then Connor Prelip is a guy they got last year in the second round. Many people think, if not for the fact that he had Tommy John and really didn't pitch very much in college, he was a guy that's a top 10 pick potentially, and they got him in the second round. They had to pay a little extra to get him, but I don't think they had any problem with that. He'll make his pro debut this year, and I think you know, just some of the video I've seen, people I've talked to, they are incredibly excited about Prelip, but also about Raya, and I mean, everyone's excited about Edouard Julien right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You agree, Ben?
Yeah, and those are the exact names I had. And I mean, Julien, I think if Twins fans want kind of a person-type comparison, it's not at all the same, like, player profile, but Luis Arraez was a guy who defensively shouldn't be at second, shouldn't be in the middle infield. Yeah, really anywhere. Julien is kind of that guy. You know, he's really not a great defender, but offensively, you can't keep him off the field. Very different offensive skill sets, though. Julien is probably going to get himself on base a ton and has a bit of power. I mean, 20 home run-ish power that could maybe turn into a little more as he matures and ages and gets used to the league. Whereas Arraez is probably never going to hit you 20 home runs over a course of five seasons, let alone one. But gosh, Raya and boy, Prelip is a guy, gosh, at college, he was just fun when he was actually on the mound. He was a guy, that slider is just, it's kind of gross to watch. It's just what it can do is just, it's just one of those that when it moves, you wonder how people ever hit a baseball. When you watch pitches like that move, you wonder how anyone can ever hit a baseball. And that's the type of stuff he has. And it's, and the thing is, he has a fastball that's an easy plus fastball, a slider that's one of the easiest, you know, amazing sliders you'll ever see. And then he also happens to throw a changeup that is not half bad as well. And so, I mean, this is a guy who has three top-of-the-line type pitches. If he can just get healthy, this is a guy who legit has ace upside, which you don't like to throw around, but it's one of those where if he can get healthy, and that is a big if, but it's, and you can't assure that coming off of Tommy John, but man, you come off of Tommy John, get healthy, Twins might have really got a good one here. And that's, you know, I know there's a lot of major league teams fans who wanted their club to take Prelip once they got into the late first and into the second round. lot of teams wanted their team to grab him. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw some video of Prelip throwing to Emmanuel Rodriguez, and that's lefty lefty. So it's probably not fair, but you're talking about a guy that's consistently mid-90s with a fastball. And like you said, one of the best sliders, you know, in baseball. And Raya's problem just has been that he hasn't been on the mound a whole lot. So, you know, you take a look at those two that have very little time. And then you look at two other guys like Simmons, Woods, Richardson, Louis Varland, who maybe don't have quite the high upside as those other two, but they're close. And they pitched in the big leagues just a little bit in September last year. So it's kind of interesting that they've got kind of waves of prospects. And ultimately, I think that's a good thing for an organization that does, you know, as you said earlier, rely on building from within as much as they can.
Yeah,
Christian's here. Haven't seen you in a while, but great to see you, my friend. Hope you're doing well. And Christian's working in his new job. He says the Twin system doesn't get as much credit as it should. Some decent talent throughout. Well, clearly that's the case.
And like Seth was mentioning, one of the guys, you know, who's right there and on the cusp, and frankly, with some of the injuries going on, probably is going to get more time than folks were expecting, is a, you know, guy that I knew when he was a little guy is Matt Wallner. I had a job up in Forest Lake at the time, and he was friends of friends. And so, or friends of youth that I had in my church. And so I knew of him at the time, but
okay.
Now here he is as a major league ball player. Yeah. So you know, that's kind of a cool, fun connection to watch. But here he is. I mean, that 30 home runs between the majors and minors last year. And it's legit. I mean,
that's legit power. I mean, Aaron Sabato's got power, but Matt Wallner can do it all offensively. You know, he's going to strike out a ton, but who doesn't these days? Mike Trout's the best player in baseball still, and he leads the league in strikeouts a lot of times.
Strikeouts are the norm.
Yeah, and Wallner's kind of that classic right field profile with a big arm and big power. You know, he can really throw it from right field, and he can hit the ball out of the yard. And he's not got a terrible eye. He strikes out a lot, but he can also take a walk. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy, he'll get on base at a, you know, a 350 clip-ish and get you 30 home runs. You can handle that if the guy's hitting 230, 250, as long as he's getting on base at a decent rate. So you're not going to complain terrible about that.
So. Oh, that's fair. That's a great point. And I would love to get me some Matt Wallner, and maybe I already have on a few of my fantasy lineups this year, especially in deeper situations. I think there's an opportunity where he shined late last year. And we're going to see more of that in the future this season. All right.
But do you mind if – I'm sorry I cut you off there. But to Christian's point and his comment, they are kind of overlooked because you consider in the last 2 years that they have graduated names like Alex Kirilloff, Trevor Larnach, mm-hmm. Ryan Jeffers, Joan Duran, Griffin Jacks, Nick Gordon. And I know I'm missing guys. Giovanni Moran, you look at what he does from the left side out of the bullpen. They've graduated a lot of guys that I think aren't established yet, but are still young, are very young. And you couple that with the prospects. We haven't even mentioned Austin Martin. And even though he's, kind of disappointed to some degree, I mean, he's right in Double A. I mean, he could probably debut this year, depending on, you know, how his UCL turns out. And they added Jose Salas in that Arise Pablo Lopez deal. I mean, to me, there's a lot there. And then you look to, and I don't want to take up too much time, I apologize, but the Dominican Summer League roster last year had Yasser Mercedes and Brian Acuna, you know, Ronald Acuna's brother, and Rafael Cruz split time between the Dominican and the Florida Complex League. That's O'Neill Cruz's brother, and he's got immense power. I saw a video of him. He hit a ball 440 the other day in a minor league game. So, and then power arms. They're drafting guys like Varland is a 15th round guy. David Festa is a 12th round guy. It's exciting to think, you know, the guys that are out. Matt Cantorino has huge upside if he can get healthy. He had Tommy John surgery. So, it isn't an organization that ranks probably even in the top half of most national where do they rank organizations and things. But between the quality, I think, and then the young guys that are establishing themselves in the big leagues, the depth, I think it's a good organization with a lot of players that will play in the big leagues at some point.
It wasn't long ago that the Twins couldn't have had a Jordan Belazovich flunk out because that would have just killed their organization. But right now, I'm not saying he has yet, but he's definitely hit kind of a wall right now. And if he does end up not making it, it's not going to kill the team.
Right.
And yet there was a guy who, holy cow, there was some really good talent that may not end up making it as a major leaguer. And it's okay. They've still got a tremendous amount of pitching depth. And that was an organization that for a lot of years, there wasn't that kind of an arm. There wasn't a power arm like that. And yet they're graduating a lot of guys. I mean, Duran's one of those guys that has holy crap stuff every night. That's, and you just never saw that out of the Twins system for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that's the Twins. There you go. We just talked about the Twins system. We got Seth's opinion on it. As Joe just mentioned, they've traded away some, you know, interesting prospects as well, and they're still okay. So that, you know, CES, Spencer Steer, Chase Petty, there are opportunities, right, Seth?
And I think Cade Povich, who they sent to Baltimore in the Jorge Lopez deal, might be the best of all of them. I think Spencer Steer has a chance to be an incredibly solid starter. Christian Encarnacion Strand, he could be DHing for Cincinnati in no time. Their Steve Hadjar was their second round pick last year out of Michigan. He went to Cincinnati in that deal. Chase Petty, first round pick. And Povich was their third round pick. So, I mean, they have definitely given up some talent and still have the depth that we've talked about. So, you know, it's an exciting time. Spring's always that time for optimism and all that kind of good stuff. But I'm optimistic short term with Correa coming in and the depth that they have around, if guys can be healthy, the pitching staff looking pretty strong. But I think long term that Derek Falvey, Thad Levine probably deserve more credit than we're giving them. Sean Johnson in the amateur scouting, Brad Style in the pro scouting, they've done a good job of bringing in talent at various levels. Like I said, and you got waves of prospects that are close or in a distance, but you know, you either build from them or you use them in trades like they did last year. And it's a good place to be, I think.
It is a great time to be a Twins fan.
Go Tigers.
It's time to switch into the Tigers section of this show. Now, the Tigers are...
I should switch hats, but, you know, I still have my, you know.
Christian also says...
Did you get a new Twins hat?
Yeah. That's the spring training cap for this year.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That is nice. Christian says the Twins did what all teams should do, develop depth and trade surplus of unproven minor league talent for proven MLB talent. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Spencer Steer's a third base, second base guy who can play some first base. Encarnacion Strand is a third base, first base, probable DH. They have Jose Miranda, who they fully believe in at third base, just to, you know, played last year as a rookie. So, yeah, that's ideal. And even to be able to trade pitching out of pitching depth, I mean, that says a lot, too. So,
yeah, it's bonus great time.
Point. Great point.
Hell yeah. So, as far as the Tigers, Scott Harris is the new man in charge here, came over from San Francisco. They're my team, so I'm pretty familiar with them. But, you know, they have guys that are now not going to be on this list today because actually Jackson Jobe, who was a recent top, real bummer. He's going to be out 3 to 6 months. He's a starting pitcher who was a first-round draft pick 2 years ago, high school, which, you know, high school pitching, you... You play with fire. You know, for every Rick Porcello, there's a ton of Jackson Jobes and then some who just were not able. I mean, Rick Porcello is like one of the biggest fluke high school pitchers there ever was in terms of a draft pick because he came up so quickly. That just doesn't happen, right, Ben? I mean, that's not the norm.
So. Yeah, that's you usually need years of development. But
yeah,
that's
Jeremy Bonderman, probably another.
Yeah.
Jeremy Bonner. Example, well, that's a classic.
Pros and cons of it.
But yeah, so Jackson Jobs out 3 to 6 months. We'll see if he pitches this year or not with a lumbar spine inflammation. It doesn't even sound that serious, but they're making it. That's a big long range of return. Of course, Scott Harris made a few trades, get rid of some veterans like Joe Jimenez this offseason, and brought in our guy who would probably be on this list for me.
Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Please be prepared to ignore them. These people are not your friends. These messages are intended to make you feel bad or that something is missing from your life. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Prepare to enable the use of your 15-second skip ahead button. You are in terrible peril. Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. In 3, 2, 1.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So how do we want to do this? Ben, you want to give us your top three Tigers? I want to hear your top three Tiger prospects to start.
Well, mine have changed since the list I sent out to earlier in the week, just because of the Job news. You know, you kind of have to discount that just because you aren't sure what you're going to have from him. So my three are going to end up being Wilmer Flores, Jace Young, and then Colt Keith. Mm-hmm. And so those are going to be my top three out of this system. Keith has just really done a nice job this spring of kind of showing some things and maybe kind of putting a block in front of our guy at third base, but we'll have to see about that.
Yeah, so. I can't wait to see how that plays out with Malloy. Seth, what about you? You got a top three Tigers?
Well, I mean, Jackson Jobe certainly would have been on that list, of course. You know, and I struggle to disagree with the choices. I mean, obviously Young is immensely talented. There's a reason he was drafted where he was. Wilmer Flores is exciting as a pitcher, but I keep thinking about the guy that played for the Mets and thought he was traded one day, and it just I will forever be, you know, kind of lost on that. And Colt Keith, another infielder, I think they've developed, or maybe it's drafted, a lot of their top prospects are infielders in the low levels, so they're probably not close, and that's probably okay. Whereas in the recent past, their top guys have been pitchers like Alexander and Mize and Skubal. You know, you compliment them, and hopefully those guys get healthy. Even as a Twins fan, you still want to see the best players go. And I think Skubal and Mize have a chance to be really good. You want to see them pitch. And now you compliment those with with some young hitting prospects that hopefully will get there in the next few years. I think that's – at least you can see a plan there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I'll chime in here because this is my team. You know, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I think you – I mean, Wilmer Flores is in this top three. I had a real hard time putting it in order. So I'll go from 3-1, I guess. I will say that number three is – Colt Keith. Number two is Parker Meadows for me. I think Parker Meadows, not just because of this spring either. I really like what Parker Meadows brings to the table. He's number two, and then number one is Wilmer Flores. So I'm putting in that order. I'm going Keith, Meadows, Flores, number one. The question is, and somebody asked this in the live chat, Ben, will Wilmer Flores debut this year? I think that takes not just quality prognostication skills, but really just a bit of luck here because we have no idea if there's going to be an opportunity. Would you want to bring up Wilmer Flores to do a spot start to be a 26th guy on a doubleheader for his debut? Or do you want Wilmer Flores to come up and stay up and get a chance to be a part of the rotation? Because they've got guys like, I don't include Joey Wentz. Joey Wentz to me is a post prospect. To me, he pitched last year in the majors. He's pitched in the majors, yeah. So I'm not including Joey Wentz. And there's Matt Manning and all these other guys that are kind of in the mix who are, they're post prospects, but they're borderline.
But that's exactly it, though. You have to figure those guys in. They have a group of guys about seven or eight deep that are in consideration for their rotation right now. And that doesn't include guys like Skubal and Mize that are hurt.
Right.
And so, I mean, as you get through the year, where is that spot going to be for Flores?
I just don't see it.
Now, that said, if he comes out and he absolutely shoves, they're not going to hold him back because I don't see any of those guys being, holy crap, we're not going to move those guys aside for Wilmer Flores if he's shoving because none of those are those type of guys.
You realize one of them is Matt Boyd, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Michael Lorenz and Matt Boyd. Yeah, they got a gaggle of guys that are like ho hum.
And that's just, I mean, you don't have a lot of holy crap starters that are going to block Flores if he's having that kind of year. But otherwise, I don't see if he has another year. Honestly, if he has another year like he did last year, he'll probably get a September call up. And that's what you're going to see out of him. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because probably by September, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to think. I don't remember Mize's and Skubal's timelines off the top of my head. But if I'm not mistaken, at least one of them is supposed to be back by the end of the season, if not both.
Oh, yeah. Skubal, hopefully, they got some good news recently. He might even be back in June. May, that's possible. Mize had TJ... And I think he will be unavailable this year. There will be no Mize this season, but Skubal's in play. Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least, you know, for sure, that's one guy you're not going to block, you know, or that you're not going to jump over right there. But otherwise, Flores is going to, you know, he can have a chance to coming into next season. Skubal's probably the one guy that's going to get some time this year that for sure is going to slot in ahead of Flores no matter what he does. But if he has a chance to come up, show out a little bit in September, certainly he could do what he can do in September and say, hey, I deserve a spot in 24. Great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I would add, Ben, that I think, and again, I don't know a ton about the Tigers organization. I've done, you know, some research on the top guys, of course, and I, you know a little bit, but one thing the Twins did a lot the last couple of years is not be afraid to call those types of prospects up for the 26th man, starting one of the two games of a doubleheader. And it just gives them a little bit of I don't know if it's motivation or they can kind of just see how their stuff plays out. They can get over some of those jitters. So, I mean, September's great. You know, you may have traded off a few veteran starters, but I don't see any negatives in doing that. If the pitcher's ready and you think mentally he's ready, that's sometimes just as important. And I don't know enough about Flores to say he is or isn't, but you know, hopefully the coaching staffs would.
Yeah, and they got Rule 5 guy like Mason Ingler who's on the roster. He has to stay on the roster to stay as part of the team, and he looks pretty good. And then there's Bo Brisky and Garrett Hill. And Spencer Turnbull's back from TJ. Yeah. He's back. I mean, there is a lot of names here.
Like I said, you got a lot of depth there of guys. I don't know that you have anyone who's going to be a push pass. Now, are you ready for the next big? Because I have something there.
Hell yeah, so let's do it, Ben. Go ahead.
If we go into our next big three with Job off of there, one of the guys that I didn't mention in the email I sent is Ty Madden, and yes! he would make it on there. Reese Olson is also on there, and then of course our boy Justin Henry Malloy. But Ty Madden is a guy who was one of the best college pitchers when he was on the mound, but he had some issues with how he shaped his fastball, and that has looked a lot better as a professional. As it has looked better, he has looked as a possible three guy. Now, I'm not saying that is ever going to be an ace guy, but a possible three guy can move forward and assert that, hey, I need to be in the rotation among those guys that you're talking about, because I don't think there's a guy who is a for sure three guy. There's a lot of fours and fives that you're talking about right there. And so I like Madden pushing up and going, hey, I'm ready, could push himself right into a rotation. But he's had this really started to click for him mid season last year. And so is he going to push it full season yet? I don't know. And that's what you got to see coming into this year. If he can carry that forward starting this year, they might have a guy on their hands, and that could be the guy that pushes forward and does that. Reese Olson was fun to watch last year, has some issues with control. I still think there's probably a lot of relief risk because of that, but his stuff is fun. And then of course, you know, our boy Malloy, Justin Henry is, I'd love to see him make it just because of the connection that we have on this podcast with him. He's a great kid. And, you know, he works his butt off and, you know, yeah, he's just, it's hard to cheer against a kid like him. But right now it's, where is he going to play? And, you know, he played a lot of left field last year at the end of the year. And then in Arizona, third base seems to be more open, but that hasn't been his best defensive spot coming up yet. If he would, but you know, I know the way the man works, and you know, and how hard he works. If he puts in that time, you know, Seth can speak to this. A guy like Royce Lewis, there was a lot of questions about how he was going to be as a defensive shortstop,
right?
And he put in the time, he put in the effort, and he's a legit high end defender at short at this point. I mean, I won't say he's a gold glove top of the major leagues defender, but he's a major league defender at this point.
Right.
At shortstop. And I don't know that you'll ever see Justin Henry become a gold glove third baseman, but he's got the arm to handle the position for sure. And if he can get to the point where he can be a major league quality third baseman, I mean, for instance, look at a guy out of the organization he just left, Austin Riley. Not a great defender at all coming up. In fact, a flat-out bad defender a lot of times. Has worked hard to the point where he is a good defender. He's not low average. He's not average. He's just a hair above average. You'll take that all day long with what he provides offensively.
Absolutely.
And that's all you need.
This is the question here, you know, looking at the next big three. So for me, and this is one of the problems at third base, is the spring training rise of Andre Lipschitz. I mean, it's been a huge boost for him. But Colt Keith was all the rage in Arizona, and he's looked good in spring. But Andre Lipschitz has really tried to push himself into a situation to take control. Again, another guy who could play third, he could play second. I didn't want to be too overly influenced by spring training this year, but the next big three for me, after I said my top three again, were Flores, Meadows and Colt Keith. I'm definitely putting Justin Hernandez fourth. I am, because I believe he's really close to being a major league ready hitter. He really is. That's the best part of his profile right now, is that he can hit. And he's going to keep getting better, and Tigers need hitters. You know, I think outfield is very susceptible, actually. I do. Akil Badu is horrendous against lefties. Akil Badu has been bad in spring training. It's really sad. Maybe he'll have a better season, but he looks like a platoon guy, and that opens the door because of a lack of... Between him and Austin Meadows, I think outfield is a really, really suspect area for the Tigers, and that's where Justin Hernandez actually could benefit. I know third base looks a little bit more open, but I think outfield's not that far off, Ben. So I'm putting him, Justin Hernandez, fourth, and then I got to put, you know, I didn't fit Reese Olson in the top six. It was a really impressive stat line looking last year, 119 innings pitched, a 12 K per nine. That's legit. That looks good. The walks were under 3.2 per nine, which is, that's good for him based on his past with Milwaukee before he came to Detroit. But I didn't put Olson in the top six. So I go Hernandez fourth. I guess I have to put Jace Young fifth. I'm not that excited about Jace Young, but I got to do it for now. I have to. And then six for me was Ty Medd. I had Ty Medd in six as well because of the Job injury, but also because I liked what I see from him, the pedigree, pitched well at Texas. I didn't know as much about the fastball. That's news to me, and I'm glad to know that there's been improvement there. But that would barely be that. With Andre Lipschitz getting an honorable mention here because he had a great spring training, and we'll see where that goes from here, if it's a fluke or not. But he wasn't – I actually thought a guy like Wenciel Perez is a guy I liked – a little bit more than Lipschitz before spring training started, but that has changed, I guess.
What do you think, Seth?
Well, and again, I probably didn't organize my thoughts as well as I should have, but I would add a few things. Number one, Ty Madden in that 2021 draft, it was one of those guys that you knew the name, so you hoped that he would fall, in my case, to the Twins. One name that I think I'd like to bring up as a conversational piece is Dylan Dingler. And I know that he hasn't hit much, at least for average. I can't necessarily speak to his defense because I haven't watched him play, so I haven't really seen a lot of that. But if he's hitting, say, 240 with 12 to 15 home runs, you look at the major league catchers right now, how many of the, let's see, 60 major league catchers hit 240 with 12 to 15 home runs in 2022? And I think, and I should maybe do that research before I encourage others to, someone should do that research and get back to these guys. But I don't think there's very many. And so I think, you know, he's dropped a bit in prospect rankings. But if he can play a good defense, he can be a big league catcher for a long time. And, I think there's a ton of value in that for any team. And I think the catcher position for the Tigers is open. Is it not?
Well, of two things. See, there's the injury.
Not for right now.
The injury that popped up. Yeah. But Jake Rogers has come back strong in spring training. He's post-hype prospect. He's looking promising. But other than that, yeah, Eric Haas is a outfielder DH more than he is a catcher.
Yeah.
Two other things, if you don't mind. Ben, I almost had to leave the show when he was being disparaging to my guy, Akil Badu.
I love Akil Badu. I wrote a song for Akil Badu on this YouTube channel. You guys could watch it on the songs play. I wrote a song for Akil. I loved him in 2021, but it's been a minute. It's been a minute, Seth.
Yeah, and I like the guy. I like the story. Great guy, all that kind
Me
of
too.
Good stuff.
His father's from Ghana. There's all kinds of fun information and things to know about Akil. It's just his lefty splits are horrendous, Seth. They're real bad.
Wow. And his 2022 period was not good.
It just sucks.
Even he went down to AAA, and it's not like he earned his way back up. I feel like there was an injury or something that got him back up. So
there's opportunity on a really bad team.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. All right. Home run Badu today.
The other thing is, you know, again, there's guys that are close and there's guys that are far off. So I feel like what they're doing is some of the right things, you know, and I think that, you get Mize back, you get Scooble back. I like Alexander from a distance. Maybe I don't watch him enough, but I think he's got some pretty decent stuff. He's shut down the Twins many times. You know, you couple those
Tyler Alexander?
Yeah. I really do. And then you throw in Riley Green, and I think Spencer Torkelson's going to have, you know, maybe a breakout this year. We hope. I mean, again, you want good players and guys to have big years. So, I think there's hope. Riley Green is really good.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, and then you got, you know, you've got guys that they've just brought in. You got someone like Isaac Pacheco down in the lower levels. You've got Peyton Graham. I got to say, he didn't make my next three, but he has got to be one of the most fun prospects out of the draft last year. The guy's like 6'5", 6'6". And I think I might have more weight in one of my legs than Peyton has in his entire body. He is just all arms and legs, and just, you wonder how he is a professional athlete. And you kind, and yet you watch him in college, and the kid put out some 100+ exit velos, and you're just going, imagine what's going to happen when he ends up putting some weight onto that frame and what he might be able to do. I don't know where he ends up defensively, because he's played a lot of left side of the infield, and I don't know what happens when he actually puts some weight onto the frame, if he stays at short, if he moves to third, if he has to become an outfielder. But gosh, that could be a really fun profile to play with as he ages, because he was a young college draft pick. And, you know, that's the type of guys that a team like the Tigers should be taking a chance on. You know, is a guy like Peyton Graham that they can mold in their system for a few years. They can take a college guy like that that doesn't need to pan out in 2 years. You know, if you're at a point where you're needing to compete right away, a second round draft pick on a college guy should be turning around and looking at the upper minors within a couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, really should, if you're using your draft correctly. But if you're in a spot like the Tigers, a guy like Peyton Graham isn't a wasted pick if he's your second and third round pick.
And one thing that I struggle with is everyone wants these guys to move up so fast.
Yeah.
And all to develop really fast. And by us doing prospect rankings, we're probably guilty of pushing some of that. But I always point out, I don't care when they get there. If they get to the big leagues at 25 and they're staying, and that's a positive. You know, if a guy that you hoped was a number one ends up being just a number three, there aren't a ton of number threes in the world either. So, I think sometimes the expectations get so far up there, but, you know, I think trying to be fair to the player and realizing how hard it is to get to the big leagues. I mean, it's like when I used to write a prospect handbook, I always wrote, and Ben, you might remember this, but I mean, these are guys that are working just as hard as the bigger, you know, big league players, but just for no glory and in front of no fans and for a lot less zeros. But also, like, I went to Division III thinking I was pretty good, and I barely played there. So how good are Division I players? How good are Double-A players? How good are the crappy players that we get so disappointed in by reading their stat lines and box scores? How good are those players? You know, so I like to kind of take a step back every once in a while and be like, am I really bashing this guy? You know, he's made it to the big leagues, you know?
Yeah,
there's a fine line there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good example. A guy like Joey Wentz finally made it last year. He made it. He got, six starts at the end of the year that were really solid starts.
Yeah.
That's a thing, no matter how he finishes, no matter what comes of his 2023 and beyond, that's a success, you know, and you think about the guy a competitive balance pick or an early second round pick, but right in that range, and was considered, you know, he was the same, I think he was a Kansas guy, like same year as Riley Pint, considered just an amazing draft prospect. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about a guy who now he's just getting into the majors 5 years later, 6 years later. Injuries, development, everything else. And he's, you know, maybe going to have a year this year at 25.
I was going to say he's 25 the whole year.
Yeah.
And I mean, worst case, you know what? He's really good for Detroit for 6 years. You get him for all three arbitration years. He's 31. He becomes a free agent, and you got his best years. Now, that's the mean business side of it, but...
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's just it. I mean, you know, but he made it, and that's just it. You know, how many guys don't?
Most.
How many guys never make it all the way up the chain?
Yep.
And yet, here you are... You know, there's a lot of folks that are going to look at Joey Wentz going into the year at 25 with a barely able to make it profile on that rotation and go, God, what a failed number one, you know, first round pick. No, there's a lot of first. I mean, Seth, do we really need to get into the guys that were drafted, you know, fifth overall or third overall for the Twins over the years? And
we've had a few of those, and I'm sure both teams have, but I know the Twins have, that's for sure. Adam Johnson, Cole Stewart, we go on and on.
I'm stepping in. The show is at 46 minutes. We're going to wrap things up. We try to keep it to a half hour. I want to thank Seth for joining us. Make sure you guys follow Twins Daily. Follow him on Twitter at Seth Tweets. This was really good stuff. Both sides, we learned everything we need to know about the Twins, and we got a good perspective on the Tigers. You know, there's a lot to look forward to this year. I'm so excited for baseball. We're almost, well, we're about 2 weeks here, and we're going to be having opening day. It's time to party, Major League Baseball, but we'll be keeping you up to date on all the prospects. We got some more teams to do still. We're going to keep moving as fast as we can. I'm going to Tout Wars tomorrow morning, flying out at about 10 o'clock. I'm going to New York City for the weekend, so I'll be hanging out with all these fantasy baseball people. I have lots of videos I'll share on my Twitter, and hopefully I'll try to upload on YouTube as well. Follow me on Twitter, FJ Govier. Follow Ben at Big Gentle Ben, of course. He's in the Discord if you want to ask him questions. It's totally free. That link is at the top of the Palazzo Podcast Twitter feed. Two L's, two Z's. And
Utah, give me two.
That should do it. Thank you, Seth. Pleasure talking with you, my friend. Thank you, everybody. And I'll see you in New York City.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wander Franco is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.